Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the cross. And Father, thank you for what it means. Thank you that we can have eternal life because of your death, burial, and resurrection. And we rejoice in that. Please, Lord, help us now as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been looking at biblical stewardship the last two Sundays. I believe this is the third Sunday. And so I would encourage you, I know many of you might have been snowed in last week and were unable to be here. I would encourage you, if you have about 40 minutes that you could block off, that you could go back and pull that up on the internet if you have access to that. Just because of the way that we've been preaching these, there's a little bit of an order and method to the order. And so last week we spoke specifically about stewardship, more in relation to that we are to be a steward. Our body is to be a steward, not just simply about our finances. And we're talking more about finances this afternoon, as you can tell by the text that we read. But all three of these, and I don't know what we'll see, what happens, Lord willing, next Sunday as we get into this. So our lesson today, as you can tell from the book of Malachi, today I'd like to speak to you on what is tithing. What is tithing? What does it mean to tithe? The simple definition of the word, and we're going to look at several things in our text and other passages of Scripture, so have your Bible ready, and I'll try to give you enough time as well to find the Scriptures with me. But a tithe, in its own word, a tithe is a tenth. It is a tenth. So if you're saying that you have, if you have 10 whatever and you want to tithe, then one of those is a tithe. Whether we're talking about an offering to the Lord or whatever, just in the simple definition of the word, a tithe is a tenth. A tithe is a tenth. Now, as we think about biblical giving, we believe here at Anchor Baptist Church that this is still a part of our Christian life, to be tithers. And I love what many have said over the years, to be tithers by conviction, that it's a biblical conviction as to why we believe that we ought to be tithers. Now, one argument that comes up about tithing and speaking on tithing in this age of grace, you know that we're under grace, amen, and we praise the Lord for that, is just that we are no longer under the law, and so we don't need to tithe anymore. Let's actually do a little bit of a Bible study, okay? So you're going to have to pinch yourself to stay awake a little bit more than normal here today, because this is classroom preaching today, all right? So let's take our Bibles and let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. Genesis, chapter number 4. Very first book of the Bible, and approximately 400 years prior to the law being given. Okay, let's see what it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, we'll talk about that, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The key word within that text is in verse number 4, and it's the term firstlings. Firstlings. Turn over to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And verse number 20. Here we're reading about a man by the name of Abraham. It says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all." He gave him tithes of all. And one more, Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, we find a man by the name of Jacob. Verses 20 through 22, the Bible says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, verse 22, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee," what? "The tenth unto thee." Notice what it says there, "of all that thou shalt give me." Now this goes back to some of what we talked about last Sunday. Everything that we have today is from God. Think about it. Everything that you have today is from God. This body that I have is from God. I have one of them. You know, it's very important that I treat this body as God would want me to treat this body. This body is not mine. And we talked about that last Sunday. I don't want to go back and re-preach all of that, but we talked about, where do our feet take us? What do our hands do? What do our eyes look at and so forth? What are our ears listening to? And again, everything that you have is God's, that He has given to you to be a good steward. A steward, again, is someone who manages what belongs to someone else. So God is the owner of my body today. I am supposed to be a good steward. I need to be very wise about what I do with this body. And then God has given me everything. The ability to think, the ability to work, the ability to move and function and all of that, it's all from God. He has given me, we learned about it, the ability to gain wealth. You say, well, I'd like to have some of that wealth. Let me just tell you, in most of the world, we are very wealthy. In most of the world today, we have so much more than most of the world. And many of you could probably testify to that in your own life, possibly. And I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying that there is wealth here in this country of Canada, and we are a very affluent people if we were to compare ourselves to much of the world. And so, but all the wealth that we have, all of the sustenance that we have is from God. I don't deserve any of it. But God has given it to me by His grace. He provides bread on my table and a roof over my head and clothes on my back and all of this. But what we established this quite effectively biblically last week, that it's all from God. And so whatever you have today that you can put your hands on, and if you can't put your hands on it, we must come to the conclusion biblically that it is from God. Here we see over and over, from the very first family to the man of faith Abraham, to the man of faith Jacob, here we see the area of tithing is spoken of. Here's this quote: "The foundation of this vow was Jacob's understanding that all we have comes from the Lord. Returning to Him the first 10% simply acknowledges God's ownership and provision." Did you catch that? Returning to Him the first 10% simply acknowledges God owns it all anyway, I added that, God's ownership and provision. Let's go back to the passage of Scripture. You know what? On your way, actually, first, quickly turn over. We're working our way back to Malachi. Go to Exodus chapter 13. Stay with me today, please. Let the Word of God help us in this area of our life. My goal for you is that you would recognize that the Bible is very clear that tithing is for everyone. Tithing is for everyone. Children, teenagers, adults. It's for every born-again believer. Look what it says here in Exodus chapter 13, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the, what? Firstborn. The firstborn. We're just laying some groundwork here today. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. And so we see here the significance of the first fruits, if you will. The firstborn, both of man and of beast. God said, they're mine. Flip over now, please, to chapter number, chapter number 13, verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Verse 15, and it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, you'll remember this from if you know about the history of the children of Israel, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Chapter 22, same book. Really, what I'm just showing you here is the emphasis that God places on the first, the first, the first. I've had people tell me this, Pastor, I will tithe after I pay all of my bills. First off, that's not biblical tithing. Biblical tithing is first fruits. I can tell you this, the devil will do a very good job of causing you, if you have that way of tithing, the devil will make it very convenient that at the end of paying your bills, oh, I don't have enough to tithe now. You know what you've just done? You've just robbed God. God makes it very clear. First fruits. First lamb, firstborn. I believe that's pointing us to that first 10%, that it belongs to the Lord. I don't have my hands on that because it's not mine. I shouldn't have my hands on any of it, but God allows me to be a manager of the other 90%. Okay, let's just keep reading a little bit here and trying to digest this a little bit. Look at Exodus 22, verse number 19. That's not the verse. That's not the verse. Okay. Yeah. But that's what we should do. Anyway, I'm looking for that first fruits, but I don't have that. Maybe it's 23:19. Oh, yeah, 23:19. How about that? 23:19. That sounds familiar. Anyway, moving on, moving along. Wow. Okay. 23:19. The first of the first fruits. I mean, God emphasizes it enough, doesn't he? The first of the first fruits. I lost my place. Of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. It even tells us there where we're to bring the first of the first fruits. I don't believe, biblically speaking, that our tithes should be written to a Christian organization halfway across the country. I'll send my tithe to an organization somewhere in Ontario. No, our tithe belongs to the storehouse, the place where we are a member, the place where we are hearing the Word of God preached and being fed from the Word of God. Let's look at Numbers 18 quickly. Numbers 18. Verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Those tents that were brought in to the temple were to be a sustenance to provide for the priests. That's the Levi, the house of Levi there. And that was the way for the children of Israel to provide for the priest. Now let's go back to Malachi. But again, emphasizing the tenth, Malachi, where we started. Let me give you quickly several things to consider. Look at verse number 7, please. The Bible says, return unto me. Return unto me. Number one, we see a command. This is a command. This is very clear. God is saying, return to me. And we're going to see, what is he saying to return to me about? Verse 7 of Malachi chapter 3, we see the command, return unto me. Verse number 7, there's confusion though, because now they're going to ask, wherein shall we return? You know, as we think about the Bible, let's go back to that thought of the command. We've been saying this, for many, many years, that as we look into the Bible and we find different things that God commands us to do, you know, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't there be revival in your heart and in my heart if we would simply obey God's word? Think about it. It's still the very best way to show that we believe. Obedience. And as we see in God's word things that we're supposed to be doing, do you know what the Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not? What does the Bible say that is? It's sin. And as far as I can tell, sin is not pleasing to the Lord. You know, sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, my sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. Your sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. The sins of children, even little children, were born in sin, folks. Innocent little babies, yes, but they're born in sin because their mama was a sinner. For sure, their daddy is a sinner. We're born in sin, but you know what happens? Even when we start to grow up and we start to get a little bit older, we make a choice. You know what that choice is? Mama says, don't touch that, it's hot. Mama says, don't touch that, it's hot. Daddy says, don't touch that, it's hot. And you know what that means to a little child? Touch it. Touch it. And a little child goes over and touches it and finds out it was hot. Mama was right and Daddy was right. If we would only obey, it would cause us a lot less burn, wouldn't it? It really burns when we disobey God. It really burns when I disobey God. It really burns when I violate God's word in my life and when you violate God's word. What I'm saying is here, this afternoon, we're sinners in need of a Savior. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ was willing to die on an old rugged cross for me. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ was willing to die on an old rugged cross. Brother Carlos sang about it a moment ago for you. The reason he needed to die for that for us on that old rugged cross is because of sin. The Bible says that sin has separated us from God. Oh, but thanks be to God for his grace. Thanks be to God for his unending love and his unconditional love that he has for us today. That he would send Jesus Christ to bleed and die and pay the penalty for our sin. And he would rise 3 days later victorious over all of it. And so yes, it's disappointing when I disobey God's word, isn't it? When you disobey God's word. You know, as we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, there is a conviction about that. Where before we got saved, we could live however we wanted to live. And seemingly it never bothered us. But when you are indwelt by the Spirit of God and you live like you used to live, the Holy Spirit of God says, wait a minute, something's different. God is living inside of you. God is living inside of me. And he wants to transform us. He wants to transform us from the inside out. And he's working on me today. I've been saved since I was 9 years old. I'll be 46 in June. And God is working on me. He's still got a lot more work to do. And God, I hope, is still working on you that we might bring more honor and glory to him. And one way I believe God deserves our worship is to be obedient in tithing. You thought I forgot what I was preaching about. Tithing, no. Tithing is love, amen? I love to give to God. You know what? For God so loved the world. Isn't it amazing that God in his holiness and God in his pure and his righteousness would want to have a relationship with unholy men like me? Absolutely amazing, but not only that, He wants to use us as we tithe to his church to see his kingdom go forth. And that's just in the tithe. We see a command. We see some confusion. Next, we see that God gives a great charge here. Look at the charge from verse number 8. He charges them guilty. What were they charged with? Verse 8. Yet ye have, what's the next two words? Robbed me. Let's say those together. Ready? Robbed me. God says, here's the charge. In case you forgot. As they said, wherein shall we return? Where have we kind of not done what we were supposed to do? And God says, here it is. You have robbed me by your failure to give your tithe. Then not only that, but notice verse 9. He gives them a curse. Verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. God calls on his people to acknowledge his ownership of all things by giving back to him at least 10% of all that he entrusts to us. This afternoon, I'm sharing this with you from God's Word because I believe God takes it very seriously. And if you were to leave Anchor Baptist Church and we were to see each other in heaven, and you were to somehow have never heard biblically the responsibility of tithing, you were to never have heard about that. You were to have missed out on blessings of God. And even the Bible goes as far as to say that we are not only missing blessings, but we're being cursed. What kind of a pastor would that make me? Not a very good one, quite frankly. I'm sharing this with you today because I believe that God takes it very seriously and God commands it. The people in Malachi's day had disobeyed God by robbing him of tithes and offerings. When God's people are not faithful in their giving, they are not robbing only God, this is a quote, they are robbing themselves. God has so many blessings in store for obedient children. If you're visiting today, I don't apologize for the message, but we don't preach on tithing 52 weeks a year, only 51, okay? Just kidding. If you're visiting today, I want to say that, okay? But as a loving under shepherd for each of you, needing to love you even more, you are not only robbing God, but you are robbing yourself. Pastor, you don't understand. I cannot afford to tithe. You all have heard that before, and you know what the next statement is. You can't afford not to tithe. I cannot explain it on paper, but I have been able to see God do more in my life with only 90% than I'm sure that I could have done with 100% because I would have been disobeying God and I would have been under a curse and I would have been judged by God in some way. My parents, as a young child, my parents sat me down and said, Ben, we want to teach you about tithing. And as a young boy, I'm talking a young boy, my mom and dad taught me about biblical tithing. There are many things in my Christian life that I struggle with. I'm just going to tell you that right now. One of them that God has helped me with by His grace to have victory in my life is this area of tithing. It is absolutely of no question for me. If you gave me a $100 bill before I leave today, I'd pat you on the back and say thank you. You know what? $10 of that $100 would be in the offering the next time the offering plates are passed. I'm not telling you that to tell you that I'm some super spiritual person. I'm just trying to tell you that this is one area, at least, where for me, there's no question about it. 10% of everything I receive goes to God. Why? Because 100% of everything I receive came from God. And I want to make sure that I'm honoring God's word. I need God's blessing. How many of us need God's blessing? Amen to that. We need God's blessing. By the way, it's not, I wrote this down, it is not bargaining with God. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Here it is. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is going to take care of our need. God is going to supply our need as we follow the biblical plan of tithing. Quickly go back to Malachi chapter number 3. The people's crops in this text had spoiled for lack of rain. One author wrote it this way: if every church member would bring the Lord his due, which is the tithe, and then add offerings, our local churches would have more than enough for their ministries. I didn't say that. That's just something that I read. Notice what it says in verse 10. Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Look at this. Look at these next few words here. And prove me now. How many of you think that the Lord would pass a test? What do you think, Brother Watson? I think the Lord will pass the test if He said, prove me. That's what He's saying. Do you trust me? Do you think I can pass the test? Prove me now. By the way, you know what? This isn't, we're talking about tithing here today, and a lot of it has to do with finances, but you know what? You could really even talk about prove me now therewith, and it's in that context, it's talking about tithing, yes, but we could really even add, we could say, you know, a secondary application to this is prove me now with your life. You have one life. God wants your life. God wants my life. Do we trust God with our life? Have you surrendered your life to God? Think about that. To me, I believe every Christian at some point in their life should say, I'm surrendered to God. That doesn't mean you're saying that you're going to get on a plane tomorrow and go, you know, 10,000 kilometers from home and be a missionary. But it means whatever God wants with your life, that's what you want to do. You want to surrender to God. See, the song, I Surrender All, is not just for an invitation. It's for every day of our life. It's not just for the invitation. It's for when we get our paycheck, we should be willing to surrender that 10% to the Lord because He gave us all of it anyway, and then whatever offerings He lays on our heart over and above that. And God is going to prove Himself faithful. He said, prove me, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Now there's windows in heaven, amen. And pour you out a blessing. Now the problem is, many times we say, God, if you'll bless me, then I'll give. But that's not the formula. Luke 6:38 even tells us the formula. Many of you have memorized Luke 6:38, and what is it? It says this, give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. Not God gives and then we give back to Him. It's give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. We activate the blessing of God. If you could just picture it a little bit today with me. Let the Bible come alive as you read it. If you could just picture when that offering plate comes by next Sunday that you have your tithing envelope and you're putting your tithe in, and just picture in heaven the windows starting to open. Why not? That's what it says. And as you're putting that check in the offering or that cash or whatever that you're putting in, and by the way, you're not giving it to the church, you're giving it to the Lord. And that's, I don't know if we're going to get to that part of the lesson today, maybe next week. That's the mindset many times that we have. Oh, the church is just after all of our money. That's not true. Now, if you've been hurt at a church like that, I'm sorry that happened to you, but that's not the way it is here. You know what this church is after? This church is after God's blessing on your life. And God doesn't bless disobedience. No matter how hard we try to slice it, God never blesses disobedience. Never. But He blesses obedience. He always will. But you sit there and I step down and I'm giving that as unto the Lord, and it's not about me and it's not about you, it's about what God has done. And we just think, okay, I'm giving my tithe, and I can just hear the windows starting to open. Because God says, I will open the windows of heaven for you out of blessing. Pastor, I'm gonna have my hands ready for that money to just come flying down from heaven. That's not what the word blessing necessarily means there. We don't believe in this prosperity type gospel. God wants you to be rich. You know, if you give to me, God will make you rich. What kind of nonsense is that? It's nonsense, by the way. So please, if you're watching that stuff, don't buy into it. Don't send them your money, because that's not how God works. By the way, not everyone, and I'll be very sensitive right here, not everyone gets healed. Sometimes people pass away and go to heaven. Just had Brother Ike's service on Monday. We had his burial on Wednesday. You know what? God could have healed Brother Ike, 63 years old. God could have raised him up. But God chose not to. That's God's. God is the giver and taker of life. That kind of all goes into that prosperity gospel and the healing and all that. Does God heal? Yes, God heals. But my goal for you is the blessing of God. Notice what he says here, verse 10. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall, what's the next word? Not be room enough to receive it. look at the promise that comes with our obedience to God. God says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, I'm going to pour you out a blessing, and you're not going to be able to have enough room, pockets, or whatever you want to think about it in terms. You're going to have to get a bunch of storage bins because the blessings of God are going to be coming your way. Why? We obey God's word. Notice what it says in verse number 11. And not only I will bless you, but I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. God is not bankrupt. He never will be. My obedience in the area of tithing keeps me from being cursed. We see that in the verses that we just read. But it also promises me a blessing. Verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's the challenge. We bring the message to a close. Here's the challenge. If you're not tithing, let me say this lovingly, you're being disobedient to God. And if you're not tithing, now is the time to start. We have about one more message, I believe, on this subject that we're going to have to work on next week. Don't wait till next week to be a tither. Start now. Pastor Turner, what does that mean? It means this. If you make $100 a week, $10 belongs to God. You know the beauty of tithing? I like to say it this way. It's fair. It's fair. Because it doesn't matter if I make $100 and you make $1,000. It's 10%. I'm responsible to give the 10 and you're responsible to give the 100. A little lesson though. If you are making $100 a week, start tithing now. It's easier to tithe on $100 than it is on $1,000. We all know how to do math, folks. It's just a little tidbit. You're disobeying God if you're not tithing, which means you're not being blessed by God as He wants to bless you. Now, is God merciful? Yes or no? Of course He is. Of course He is. There's a lot of things that we need to be doing. The theme today is tithing, okay? I don't apologize for that. God says we're supposed to be a witness and spread the gospel, right? So if we're not doing that, are we disobeying God? Yes, we are. That's sin. So this isn't about picking on non-tithers today. This is about encouraging you to be obedient and for us to be obedient. And I do confidently say that you will do more with 90% than with 100%. The reason I am confidently able to say that is because God said, prove me. Prove me. Maybe you've never proved God. Maybe when the offering plate comes by, and I didn't say this originally, but you just tip God. You know, I'll give God $10 every time the offering plate comes by. That's not even close to a tithe. Now, you're giving God something, praise the Lord for it, but that's not the tithe. Very quiet, isn't it? We need to be obedient Christians. Whether it's tithing, telling people about Christ, forgiveness, it doesn't matter. Today, the topic was tithing. If you're a tither, praise the Lord. If someone that you know isn't a tither, it's not our job to go up and tell them so. But it is our job to pray that this church would be filled with obedient Christians trying to give this as gracefully as possible that are obedient in their tithing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for listening.